This recording is made on the 4th of November, 2013, here at the home of Nirupama Priya Devi Dasi and Jagannath Vallabha Das, here in Guadalajara, Mexico. This is called Harinam Chintamani by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Binitvan Nama Namino. The word Namaha means the holy name. Chintamani, transcendentally blissful giver of all spiritual benedictions. Krishnaha, not different from Krishna. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, the form of all transcendental mellows. Purna, complete. Shuddha, pure, without material contamination. Nitya, eternal. Mukta, liberated. Abhinitvat, due to not being different. Nama, of the holy name. Namino, and of the person who has the name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to the Brahman, "The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. He bestows all spiritual benedictions, for he is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and he is the form of all transcendental mellows. He is not a material name under any condition, and he is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of him being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. He is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical." Chapter 1, The Glories of the Holy Name. All glories to Gadadhar and Gauranga, the life of Srimati Janavi Devi Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Sita and Advaita, to Srivas and all the devotees. On the shore of the ocean at Nilachala, in the temple of Jagannath, resides Daru Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in wooden form. Having mercifully descended in this material world, he is bestowing both material enjoyment and liberation. At this same dham, in order to give good fortune to mankind and to make known the Dharma of Kali Yuga, Sri Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of a sannyasi, came and set up residence in the house of Kashi Mishra. There, along with his devotees, he gave out love of Godhead to everyone, just as a desire tree gives treasure freely. There the Lord took great care to present the proper spiritual teachings to the living entities. This he did by making various devotees explain different aspects of devotional service, while he sat and listened in great bliss. In this way, through Ramananda Rai's mouth, Lord Chaitanya taught the concept of rasa. Through the mouth of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he taught the real principle of liberation. Through the mouth of Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan, he taught the details of rasa. And through the mouth of Haridas Thakur, he taught the full glories of the holy name. Part 1. The Three Vaibhavas. One day, after bathing in the ocean, Lord Chaitanya met with Haridas Thakur at the Siddhabakula tree. And in blissful mind, Lord Chaitanya carefully inquired from Haridas how the jivas, the living entities, could easily become delivered from material existence. Grasping the Lord's feet, Haridas' body shivered and tears poured from his eyes. In great humility, Haridas Thakur spoke, "O Lord, your lila is very deep. I have absolutely nothing. I have nothing. Your lotus feet are my only possession. For no good reason, you have asked this question. And I am such an unfit person. What therefore can the result be? O Lord, you are certainly Lord Krishna himself, who has this time descended in Navadvip Dham to deliver the jivas of Kali Yuga. There, you mercifully display your pastimes. If you kindly put those pastimes within my heart, then I will be happy. It is by your great mercy that you have revealed your unlimited name, qualities, form, and pastimes in this material world, so that even low rascals such as I am able to taste them. My Lord, you are the spiritual sun. I am but the particle of your light. You are the Lord, and I am your eternal servant. The nectar of your lotus feet is my wealth of happiness. My hope rests only in the nectar of your name. As I am such a low person, how do I know what to say? You are my Lord. You are my Master. Still, I must obey your order. Whatever comes from my mouth, I will happily present to you, not considering the faults." Krishna and his energies. Haridas Thakur continued speaking. "The Supreme Person, who is completely independent and free to act according to his own desire, is none other than Sri Krishna. He exists as the Supreme Truth, one without a second. But he is inconceivably always in the company of his eternal energies. These energies are never independent of Krishna. Rather, they are intimately related with him. This is confirmed in the Vedic mantras. Krishna is the independent principal conscious entity, and his energies are but his attributes. They can never be independent. Krishna, therefore, may be called Vibhu, the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent master, and the manifestations of his energies. All other existing phenomena can be called Vaibhava, or the opulent expressions of the Lord's factual existence. Yet, even in the midst of unlimited countless energies which are scattered throughout endless time, Krishna remains separate and independent in his original form. It is through these energies, these Vaibhava of the Vibhu, that the Lord's presence can be perceived. The manifestations of Krishna's energies are of three types: Chid-Vaibhava, or spiritual manifestations coming from Krishna's spiritual potency. Number two, Achid-Vaibhava, or the dull, unconscious material world. And number three, Jiva, the countless souls who are small particles of spirit. All of this is the statement of the revealed scriptures. Chid-Vaibhava, spiritual manifestation. Haridas Thakur continued, the Chid-Vaibhava consists of Krishna's abodes, such as the unlimited number of Vaikuntha planets, Krishna's unlimited names, such as Govinda, Hare, etc., Krishna's unlimited forms, such as the two-handed form holding the flute, Krishna's extraordinary qualities, such as affectionately giving bliss to his devotees, Krishna's pastimes, such as the Rasa Lila of Vraja, or the Sankirtan activities of Navadvipa. Even though these spiritual manifestations may descend into the material world and be visible or perceivable by the living entities, they remain spiritually untouched by material influence. All these elements intimately related to Vishnu or Krishna are called Vishnupada. The word, which is found in the Vedas, denotes that the Chid-Vaibhava are inseparable from the Lord Himself. The spiritual phenomena are inseparable from the prime spiritual entity. Therefore, in the spiritual realm of Vishnupad, the changes which occur due to the influences of the material energy are not present. That realm is transcendental to material change, and like Lord Vishnu himself, is pure goodness, unmixed with passion or ignorance. In the least, unlike the condition of material world. Krishna and the plenary Vishnu expansions are all of pure goodness. Thus, whether in Goloka, Vaikuntha, the causal ocean, or the material world, these personalities remain unaffected as the Lord of all the demigods and the Lord of Maya. Vishnu forms are the lords of Maya and are all in pure goodness, whereas Brahma, Shiva, etc. possess goodness mixed with other material modes. Achid Vaibhava. Haridas Thakur continued. Across the Biraja River, which is the separating boundary opposite from the Vishnu forms, spiritual abodes, spiritual pastimes, and other spiritual manifestations, lies the non-spiritual realm composed of the universes of 14 planetary systems. This realm, under the control of the Lord's illusory energy, is called Devi Dham, the abode of Maya. It is composed of the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, plus mind intelligence and false ego, which form the gross and subtle bodies of the living entities. The seven upper and seven lower planetary systems are all contained within Achid Vaibhava, or non-spiritual manifestation of one of the Lord's energies. Jiva Vaibhava. Whereas the spiritual manifestation, Chid Vaibhava, is the full spiritual principle, and the illusory material world, Achid Vaibhava, is its shadow, jivas are atomic particles of spiritual element. Because the jivas are spiritual in character, they also have some degree of independence and have the potentiality of unlimited bliss, which is natural to the spiritual realm. Those jivas who resort to Krishna to attain that bliss remain as liberated souls, eternally associated with Krishna. But thinking of his or her own happiness, if one selfishly desires to enter the neighboring abode of Maya, then he or she turns away from Krishna and takes on a material body within the material universe. Having fallen into the revolving wheel of continuous activities, both good or bad, along with their results, the jiva wanders throughout the universe, sometimes in Swarga or heaven, sometimes in Naraka or hell, taking birth in the material body to enjoy life in all the 8,400,000 species of beings. Haridas Thakur continued, but as you are the Lord, the controller of the jivas are but your energies. You are always thinking of their welfare. Whatever happiness a jiva may seek, you kindly bestow it. Therefore, one who desires impermanent happiness in the material world achieves it without difficulty by the Lord's grace. All the processes to achieve this happiness of sense gratification, such as the rules of varna and ashram, yajna, yoga, homa and vrata, which are all pious activities, are but simply material without any spiritual transcendental nature at all. The results of these practices, namely elevation to higher planets and sense enjoyment, are but material and temporary. Thus, in such activities for satisfying the temporary senses, the soul remains unsatisfied. The attempt to achieve happiness by gaining a temporary situation in a higher material planet is a gross error by the soul. Similarly, by the mercy of devotees, a jnani may perform activities of bhakti. Such jnana mixed with devotional activities is also classified as a secondary path of bhakti. Such a jnani easily arrives at the stage of faith in Krishna and can thus quickly proceed in full devotional service. The servant jivas, desiring the trifling fruits in the hell of the material world, reject their master. But Lord Krishna, knowing what is best for their welfare, forces them to give up the enjoyment, or bhukti, resulting from fruitive activities, karma, and the liberation, mukti, resulting from speculative endeavors, or jnana. And at last, Krishna bestows the sweet fruit of devotion, known as bhakti. It is only the mercy of the Lord, who is made of pure mercy, that Krishna puts the jivas on a secondary path which lets the living entity fulfill his or her material desire for some time, but simultaneously gives him or her faith in the process of bhakti. If it were not for the mercy of the Lord, how could the living entities ever become pure and enter their position of happiness in the spiritual realm? In the Satya Yuga, the Lord supplied the process of meditation by which rishis became purified. Attaining purification, the Lord gave the treasure of bhakti. Similarly, in the Treta Yuga, the Lord arranged for purification by performance of sacrifices. And in the Dwapara Yuga, the Lord gave temple worship as a means for purification. But all of these are meant as paths leading to bhakti. But seeing the pitiful state of the jivas in Kali Yuga, the Lord gave up hope in the processes of karma, jnana, and yoga. In Kali Yuga, such troubles as short life, diseases, diminished intelligence, and strength, these all afflict the jivas. Therefore, the secondary paths of karma and jnana, the practices of varnashram, sankhya, yoga, and jnana, mixed with a little devotional activity, are but too narrow and obstructive. The only result in Kali Yuga of these paths is but deviation from the path of bhakti. Thus, if one takes to these paths in hope of success in Kali Yuga, life will simply become difficult for the jivas. The chief path, bhakti and the holy name. Haridas Thakur continued. Therefore, thinking of the welfare of the jivas in Kali Yuga, the Lord has descended along with his name. The Lord descended and preached this path for Kali Yuga, the process of Nama Sankirtana. Since by this process, the jiva may directly achieve the highest treasure of Krishna Prema, love of God, which is actual happiness, it is called the major or chief path, as distinct from the secondary paths of karma and jnana. In this process, all the jiva has to do is sing and remember the name of the Lord constantly. When the impure jiva takes up the process of bhakti for his or her purification, one is performing sadhana bhakti or devotional service in practice. When one's practice reaches purity or perfection, known as sadhya, in other words, when the jiva achieves prema bhakti, the activities of sadhana bhakti, namely hearing and chanting the Lord's name, remain as the activities of prema bhakti. The principal activities of devotional service are eternal. At the perfectional stage of prema, the means, sadhana, and the end, sadhya, or the method, upaya, or what is to be attained by the method, or upaya, all become non-different. Thus, there is no barrier or obstacle between the life and activities during training and at the perfectional stage. In both cases, the holy name remains constant. In this way, the jiva can easily transcend the material world. Haridas continued speaking to Lord Chaitanya. I am just a fallen, low person. I am so much absorbed in sense objects. Being so foolish, I did not take up your name, O Lord Chaitanya. With tears flowing incessantly from his eyes, Haridas Thakur, the incarnation of Lord Brahma, fell breathless at the Lord's feet. The author of this book, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, prays that whoever is able to take refuge in the Lord, the Lord's devotees, and devotional service, will receive the full effects of the holy name. That holy name is a touchstone yielding all desires. At that time, the holy name of God becomes the center of one's existence. Harinam Chintamani, Part 2. Everything comes from the name. In the ecstasy of love of God, Haridas Thakur wept, and Lord Chaitanya, also in love of God, embraced him. Gauranga Mahaprabhu then said, "Where is there such a devotee as you, Haridas? You know all the spiritual truths and are at all times transcendental to material nature. By taking birth in a low family, you have shown the entire world that obtaining Krishna is not dependent upon wealth, honor, family, or refinement, but is dependent on faith alone. Whoever has faith in the process of unalloyed worship of Krishna is greater than all the demigods. You have understood that the name is the supreme truth. It is both the means and the end. You, Haridas, know the full glories of the name. You are ideal in your conduct of devotional activities, and you are learned and skillful in preaching. Haridas, I request you to describe the unlimited glories of the name, for it makes me so happy when I hear those glories from your mouth. Indeed, whoever says the holy name even once is considered a Vaishnava, and the householder should be careful to respect such a person. But one who is constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna is even a better Vaishnava, being endowed with all good qualities. And one who by his very presence can make others chant the name in devotion is the highest Vaishnava. So now, Haridas, describe to me exactly all the ways that the living entities can take up this name of Krishna. Folding his hands in respect, with choked up throat and tears in his eyes, Haridas began to speak. He first gave a general description of the name. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Binatvan Nama Namino. The holy name is Chintamani, the object that gives everything whatever one desires. To the materialists, it gives dharma, artha, calm, and moksha. And to the non-fruitive devotees, it gives pure, unalloyed love of God. The name is unlimited, beginningless, fully conscious, and inseparable. From the chief consciousness himself, Lord Krishna, whatever is in Krishna is in the holy name, for the two are non-different. The name is eternally free from all material contamination and is spiritually situated in a state of pure goodness, just like Krishna himself. Although descending into the material world, the holy name remains pure, eternal, and the embodiment of the highest sweetness. Like any other object, Krishna, the absolute reality, is known by four characteristics: name, form, qualities, and activities. But in the case of Krishna, these elements are unlimited. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expresses himself by means of these four elements, which take their spiritual existence by means of the Lord's Sandani energy. By these elements, Krishna attracts all people of the universe. And as his name is non-different, the existence of the name in the universe serves the same purpose. Krishna and his form are also non-different, and thus his form and his name cannot be separated. If one remembers Krishna's name, one will also receive Krishna's form. As for qualities, Krishna has 64 remarkable qualities in fullness, and they are partially represented in his various avatars, in his guna avatars, Brahma and Shiva, and up to 60 in number in Lord Narayan. But Krishna's name has all the eternal qualities in full, which expand to uncountable numbers. The pastimes of the Lord take place in waves of those qualities in the Lord's dhams of Goloka, Vaikuntha, and Vraja. And these are all fully spiritual. In spiritual existence, name, form, quality, and activity are not differentiated from the person's actual identity. But by combination with dull material elements which are not conscious, the covered living entity knows only names, qualities, forms, and activities which are separate from one another and from one's real self. Name, form, qualities, and activities are one for the pure living entities. But taking shelter of a material body, the jiva distinguishes differences. Since Krishna is always beyond material tinge, all these elements are eternally parts of one inseparable principle. However, among these four elements by which one can know the object Krishna, the holy name is the primary element, for it is by the name that all other characteristics can be perceived in full. The holy name is the primary element, for it is by this holy name of Krishna that all other characteristics can be perceived in full. As one can realize the form, qualities, and activities of the Lord by taking shelter of the name is thus accepted as the Vaishnava Dharma. Part 3. Different types of holy names. Lord Chaitanya himself accepted as a fact that through the chanting of the name, all the pastimes of the Lord could be revealed. Next, Haridas Thakur considered who is a Vaishnava. That person is called a Vaishnava who takes the holy name in faith and pure intention. And that person is called a semi-Vaishnava, who takes the name, but with the impurity of Namabhas. However, by the mercy of Krishna, the semi-Vaishnava gradually becomes a pure Vaishnava. In either case, one must take to the name, for in this material world, there is nothing comparable to it. It is the ultimate treasure in Krishna's storehouse, since it contains within it the whole spiritual realm. The particles of spirit, who are parts and parcels of Krishna, have in illusion come into this world of dull matter. and the holy name containing all aspects of Krishna and the full power of Krishna have come into this world just to deliver those spirit souls. One should know that everything in the world other than the jiva and the holy name are without substance. Krishna's names are of two types, primary and secondary. By taking shelter of the primary names, the living entity gets the highest benefit. Those names, which are part of the transcendental lila of the Lord, are considered primary names. Names such as Govinda, Gopala, Rama, Radhanath, and Hari reveal the eternal lilas of the Lord. And by chanting them, the living entity gets entrance into the spiritual world. The secondary names are those which describe the Lord's functions. The Creator, Paramatma, Brahman, these are names for use in karma and jnanakandas, and they give material elevation and liberation. Since the principal names alone give love of God, the devotees accept only the principal names. Just as there are different types of names with different effects, so there are different ways of chanting the name with different effects. The scriptures, of course, declare that if one chants the name of Krishna once, or even hears the name of Krishna once, whether it be pure name or impure name, the jiva is still delivered from the clutches of the material energy. However, the types of deliverance and the speed of deliverance must be noted. If the name is chanted impurely, such as Namabas, the benefit will come slowly. Because the person will eventually attain pure love of God, the Abhas name is considered all auspicious. By the process of Namabas, sins are gradually destroyed until the name is chanted and heard purely. At the stage of pure chanting, the devotee quickly achieves the goal, pure love of Godhead. There is also the case of chanting or hearing the holy name with more impurity than Namabas, which is situated at a greater distance from the pure name. The greater the distance, the less the effect of the name. Such obstruction or distance from the name, where chanting gives little or no effect, is called aparad or offense. The obstruction of separation via vadan is the mistaken idea that Krishna's name and Krishna are different or separate. In other words, the belief that the absolute truth does not reside in the name and that therefore the chanting of the name cannot bring one to the highest realization of truth is called vyavadhan or separation. As long as this belief persists, love of God is impossible to obtain. Besides separation based on philosophical principles, there is another type of separation in chanting. This is called syllabic separation of Krishna's names. For instance, if the syllables ha and rit are separated from each other by some other syllables, by this syllabic separation, the effects of the holy name are greatly hindered. This is different from the utterance of the word Haram by the Yavana unintentionally when he is dying, for there is no separation of the syllables in that utterance. It is therefore classified as Nama Abbas. Ha and Rit, separated syllabically, have much less effect. Of the two types of separation, the philosophical separation of the Maya bodies is much more detrimental to spiritual progress. The belief that the name is not all-powerful and absolute is a great disturbance in Kali Yuga and is not in accordance with Scripture. By these considerations, one can understand the real nature of the holy name. It is the chanting and hearing of a principal name of Krishna, devoid of namabhas, aparadha, or vyavadan separation. That is the pure name, Shuddha Nam. Whoever accepts and chants that pure name is known as a real Vaishnava and may belong to any of the three categories mentioned earlier. In happiness, one should serve such a Vaishnava always. In order to overcome namabhas and get the pure name, the jiva must serve the bona fide guru with great attention. By doing this, anarthas will disappear, and the pure name, endowed with all spiritual potency, will dance on the devotee's tongue. At that time, he or she will never give up the stream of sweet nectar emanating from the holy name. The jiva will chant constantly, mad with the sweetness of the holy name. In joy, the name will dance, the jiva will dance, and the treasure of love of God will dance. The whole universe will dance, and Maya will flee. Part 4. Adhikar of the Holy Name. The different types of holy names have been discussed. Now consider who has the right or adhikar for the holy name. Anyone who is a human being, regardless of material considerations, namely class, varna, birth, sex, age, or education, has the right to take up the holy name. For the Lord has invested in the name a transcendental power that surpasses all distinctions. But although everyone has the right to the name, only those who have developed faith in Krishna and his name will actually take shelter of the name, and they will seriously chant it. Thus, any human being has the right to the name, and one who has faith becomes the practitioner of the name. In other spiritual practices, there are restrictions in performance according to time, place, cleanliness or uncleanliness. But in taking up the name, this is not so. For the name overcomes all these restrictions by his invested power. In acts of charity, sacrifice, bathing, japa, etc., there is always the consideration of time, place, cleanliness. But in the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, faith alone is the only necessity. And whoever takes shelter of the holy name in Kali Yuga achieves the highest perfection in life. The conclusion is, the living entity in Kali Yuga, being situated within the midst of Maya, must take up the name. One who accepts the name and practices it, though doing this with minimal restrictions, must still be careful to perform all actions favorable to increasing devotion to Krishna. One must reject all actions which hamper devotion to Krishna. And one must simply remember the name of Krishna constantly while passing out his or her life in the material world. Never should one deviate to the path of fruitive activities or worship of demigods. Instead, one should chant the name, serve the devotees, and achieve the goal of life, love of Krishna, Krishna Prema. Thus concluding his explanation of how the jivas should accept the holy name, Haridas Thakur began weeping. Falling at the feet of Lord Gauranga, he held them and begged for attraction to the holy name. For one who performs devotional service at the feet of the Uttama Vaishnava, Haridas Thakur, who is the transcendental touchstone of the holy name, he will become the center of one's life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.